Relevant content for our members, by our members. This is TMC Connect.
So, Rob, where are you joining us from today?
From an undisclosed hotel room in an undisclosed Marriott in the San Francisco Bay Area. Okay. No, I'm at a real life Marriott in room 1028. In case somebody wants to go, come knock on the door. It's a California Association of Mortgage Professionals event.
Okay.
In Burlingame.
How's that been for you?
It's interesting. Any collection of originators now is interesting, and I don't necessarily mean that in a bad way. I think the people who got in it, or I like to think that the people who got in it to make a quick buck, have either quickly or slowly left Don says hi. Hi, Don. Have been leaving the industry, and I've heard of NMLS numbers going down. And so what you're left with are a couple in any group. It seems like there's a group of younger people who have really taken to heart, like, we're going to make a career out of this, and we're going to figure out how to make it work. And we're going to call X number of people every day, and we're going to go to X number of houses every Sunday, and we're going to open houses, I should say, not just random houses, but but you know, they're really making a go of it, and they're seeing some success. And then you have this older group who have been like, oh, you know, I remember golfing when, you know, rates were 18% and I came off the green, and you know, I heard the Fed lowered rates to 17.5, and oh, you know, people needed houses then, they needed houses then. So you've got that group, but it's a tough business right now, and it is a career choice. It's not a quick, you know, get rich quick kind of scheme. And so I think the people who realize that it's a career and realize that we're helping people are going to stick with it. And like I said, I like to think that people who were in it for a quick buck have either slowly or quickly been leaving.
Well,
that's where I am, at the California Social. It's a good group.
Thank you, everybody, for joining us. I'm Melissa Langdale. I'm with the Mortgage Collaborative, joined by Rob Crispin, as always. And today, we are joined by Ali Cardi, who is here from Active Comply. Ali, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having us on. I watched the rundown. I try to every Friday. So at the invite, I was like, oh yeah, count me in.
I'm excited.
I see, once again, I'm on here just for eye candy's sake.
Exactly, Rob.
You do look very dapper today. You've got like a nice jacket and, you know, tie on.
I try.
You have great Wi-Fi. I've joined on a couple at the beginning when I started with Active Comply like a year ago. I joined and Rob would be like going through the airport.
He'd
be in and out. So great Wi-Fi today.
Yes. Thank you.
Well, Ali, thanks for joining us again. You want to tell us a little bit about kind of Active Comply, and then we'll talk about some Gen Z.
Yeah, for sure. So I entered the industry about a year ago. I also have two parents in the industry. So I kind of grew up in the mortgage household, heard all the terminology, FHA, conventional, you know, rates are down. I remember being like, I will never join the mortgage industry. It's way too cyclical, very high level. I'm going to get a sales career, work for Dell. And all of a sudden, my good buddy Blake Boss calls me up and he's like, hey, you know, we're looking to hire another salesperson at Active Comply. And I'm like, Blake, I can't do the mortgage industry. I'm so sorry. And he's like, the market's great. Let's do it. Like, come on. So I go to a conference with him and I kind of fell in love. I got to meet everybody. It was a really relationship-based sale. And so I joined the Active Comply team a little over a year ago. And I've really developed this passion for our product because it is helping give lending institutions the ability to use social media and really bridge the gap between compliance teams and marketing teams. And in that, I've also realized that, you know, there's no one really advocating on behalf of my generation. And so at every conference, you know, I'm going to, there's get to know Gen Z, how to connect with Gen Z homebuyers. And conference after conference, I was like, this is spot on. This is not so much spot on. And so in that, I've kind of developed this, you know, bringing awareness to Gen Z and advocating on behalf of us. And Active Comply is an amazing organization that's helped me to do that and also help lending institutions use social media compliantly.
Speaking of social media, make sure that you guys subscribe to our podcast and subscribe to our YouTube channel. We'll put the link in the chat for you, as well as follow Allie. She's got a great following where she can give lots of advice on Gen Z buyers. So, you know, my first question to you is, I'm an elder millennial. They try to call us geriatric, but I really can't do it. Like I have one foot like in like millennial and one foot in like, you know, Gen X, I guess. Right.
Yeah.
And so like we buy things very differently. We spend very differently. Right. And that all translates into the home buying process. And you've done a great job of like, you've got this great series with your mom where you kind of like talk about generational differences and those sort of things. Like, what have been some of your big takeaways about, you know, how Gen Z considers buying things? And maybe we can talk about how that kind of translates into the mortgage world too, their home buying.
100%. Well, I want to also highlight, thank both of y'all for having me on today, because you guys are such industry pioneers. And if people weren't eager to hear my voice, I probably would be so discouraged in this industry and not nearly as excited about my job. So thank you for having me on today. And yeah, like you mentioned, I've kind of dove into Gen Z, studying our buying habits and what's going to differentiate us. I too am kind of an elder in my generation, believe it or not. So
that makes me feel a little bit better.
I bit my tongue too long here. So I was before I got on the show here today, I was writing tomorrow's commentary. And there have been studies about where are Gen Z's going. And I remember a time, you know, Allie, this is for your benefit. I remember a time when generations weren't named. You know, you were just born whenever you were born. And then a guy, actually the fellow who started People Magazine, a guy named, I think, Landon Jones, coined the term, pretty sure it was Landon Jones, coined the term baby boom. And that baby boom generation went from 1946 to 1964, which was, you know, 10 plus 4 plus 4, 18 years. Typically, like when scientists look at a generation, I'm putting on my curmudgeon hat here, Allie. So you'll have to.
I'm so impressed that you know all this. Like I should have expected it, but.
If you think about a generation, it's not like everybody is in Mississippi and having kids when they're 15. All right. Oh, did I say that? I'm sorry.
Real about Mississippi.
Okay. No, I'm not. Sorry. We just lost half of our viewers. Mississippi. But I'm sure I'll get in trouble for that. It was just a joke. Anyway, they aren't having kids. So when I looked up the definition of Gen Z, mm-hmm. Gen Z goes from 1997 to like 2012. Okay. 15 years.
Yeah.
Generations last longer than 15 years. Generations normally last like 20 to 30 years. I think that's the historical definition. But I just wonder about, I mean, are they condensing this just so they can name another generation so they can
create content on it?
You talk about being older, like geriatric Gen Z or an older Gen Z, it's kind of like, you know, why can't they extend out these generations like to 20 or 30 years? All right, I'll get off my soapbox.
No, I agree. But I think that's why I've been able to partner so closely with Krista Messerly, because she is speaking a lot on behalf of different generations and she's a millennial. And so we have a lot of things in common when we sit down and look at it. But I will say that there's a differentiation. You know, I just brought up Bumble BFF before we hopped on the call today. So I had introduced Melissa to the idea of, you know, a friend dating app, you know, meeting friends through an app, because our generation has graduated college with this pandemic and we're moving to new cities where potentially we could have a new job and we're working from home. And that's a differentiator. So whether it's because I graduated a certain year, and that's a differentiation between me and Melissa, either way, there's some decade, I guess. What's the word?
I'm sure there's at least one.
That I've kind of dived into studying and learning more about. And also, I just realized that there's not much talk about the mortgage industry in my peer group. Like, I've shared the story that I moved to Nashville, downloaded the Bumble BFF friend app, made 10 girlfriends. And then 2 months after becoming friends with the girls, they're like, Allie, you're always at these conferences. You're always working. What are you doing? And I'm like, oh, I work in the mortgage industry. And they all looked at me and they were like, what's the mortgage industry? And I was like, y'all, I was like, are you kidding? I was like, do you know what a realtor is? And they're like, well, yeah, of course. We have a ton of realtor friends. And I was like, well, the mortgage industry helps people finance the homes and make sure that they're able to make their payments. And they were like, oh, okay. I didn't even know that that's what that industry was called. And that's something that I was like, holy cow, our industry is wondering how to connect with Gen Z. Gen Z is not really even aware that the industry is out there. My goal is to kind of bring awareness, hey, this is an awesome industry to be a part of. And we also are helping people live out the dream of homeownership. So it's been interesting to dive into, but yeah, that's kind of where Gen Z is what I'm holding on to, but it really is more than just that 15-year age gap.
That's great. And Tom made a good point in the chat box that the trends change so much more quickly these days, spurred by tech, and creates micro generations, which a term, I've never heard the term micro generation, but it does seem like that's probably a good response. But, you know, are we going to be naming every, I mean, we've run out of letters, right?
What comes after Z? I don't know, but that's not my issue right now.
Well, make it your issue because we're going to want to get those borrowers, you know, 20 years from now. I think they'll probably go into, you know, Greek lettering or something.
Yeah.
Who knows? But anyway, it could be like an Excel spreadsheet that goes, you know, get to Z and then it's A, A, B, A, C.
But anyway, when you think about it, like I'm 24 and I was born in 1998. So the 2012, they're what, 11 now? So that's a really big difference in age group, because that's like elementary school, 11. And I'm 24 graduating, like have a career. So my goal and what I've really tried to, I'm starting to work with Kristen to kind of get involved at a high school level, because there's just not enough discussions about our industry, but also just what goes into buying a house early enough in my life, at least. And so I'm working with Kristen to hopefully get involved at high school and educate, you know, those 11-year-olds that are part of Gen Z. But I don't know who's going to take on the Greek alphabet. I'm not really sure. I'll have to designate someone else, because that's 11 to 24 is a pretty big age group.
It is a big age group. It's, you know, you bring up a really good point about kind of financial education in high schools and even in colleges in some cases. Like there's, you know, it was an elective when I was in college, but it wasn't something that was, you know, people just they normally took it because they just had all these questions. And back when I was in college, we actually had credit card companies on every corner of the college campus. Cause as soon as you turned 18, they were like, oh, we're, you know, and then you're like, oh, I get a free t-shirt. I have one less day of laundry and I'm going to sign up for a credit card app. Right. It seems totally appropriate. But that's when people started asking questions, right? And so it wasn't, you know, they had an opportunity in college, but not everybody took it, right? There's a huge opportunity, I think, for any, you know, anybody going through high school or college to just understand basic things like budgeting, understand, you know, how you can save in college to be able to buy your first house as soon as you graduate. Like, you know, I took for granted the fact that my parents were in the mortgage industry. They literally never let me rent. You know, I went under contract 2 months before I graduated from college and I was able to buy my first home.
Wow.
You know, and so, you know, I'm kind of a weirdo in that space, but it's so needed, you know, for people to understand that it is doable. It's feasible. What you got, Rob? You don't have to raise your hand. I feel like we're...
Allie, do you own your own home?
You know this, Rob. I've told you I feel like a fraud. I rent, but my rent is up soon. And when it is up, I'm hoping to buy. I will say Nashville is kind of a hard market, but I know how important it is. And it wasn't until I was at a conference layover and someone kind of was like, I got stuck. And I was like, please don't try to sell me on this. I was like, I don't want to buy a home. Like, I'm in this job. Like, this is my job. They're like, but you don't realize you will never see that money again. And it wasn't until I had that conversation that I was like, oh my gosh, I'm paying someone else's mortgage. So what Melissa said is spot on, but no, I do not currently own.
The reason why I asked is because I don't know anything about, I mean, for all I know, you make $1 million a year and don't even need a mortgage. But let's say you did need a mortgage. How would you find a company or a loan officer or, you know, how would you even know you needed a mortgage? And then I have a follow-up question after that, because it came up at this camp event today, because somebody was up there, was talking about where people find their loan officers. And he gave some surprising statistics. So I'd like to ask you if you're looking at, you know, if you've got $20,000 saved up and you want to buy a $200,000, you know, whatever in Nashville, or maybe that's unrealistic, but how would you find a loan officer?
That's a very valid question. And I will say I'm a bit of a different Gen Zer. Like Melissa, my parents are in the industry, so I've always kind of been told to buy. I will say moving to Nashville, I didn't know where I wanted to live yet. So that is partly the main reason I'm renting right now. So I would turn to my parents, but I have done some surveys with my friends and I've asked, you know, where would you turn? And the first-time homebuyers I've talked to, a lot of them turn to their parents, and if not their parents, people in their life that they know have owned. So if it were me, my parents weren't in the industry, most likely I have a couple friends who I know who own a home. I would go to them, say, hey, where did you go to first? And I will say a lot of my friends turn to a realtor first and say, hey, like, let's go look at homes. And then from there, get referrals.
How do you find the right realtor?
How do I what?
How would you find the right realtor?
You guys are going to not like that I say this, but I would go to social media and I would just start looking up like realtors or I will say, I don't think my first go-to is to look up a loan officer because if I was not in this industry, if I was detached, I would think I probably wouldn't know what a loan officer is.
Right. So the speaker this morning was talking about how people find their loan officers and the vast minority of people. Apparently, according to some survey, like 3% find a loan officer through social media. Mostly it is either the realtor or predominantly referrals. You know, they ask a friend, they ask their parents, or they ask somebody, where do I get a loan?
Yeah. No, I agree. And I did a recent interview with my brother. I have some quotes up here that I wanted to share. And he said, I'm going to be really honest with you. I'm not exactly sure what a loan officer is, but because I asked him, why do people go to a realtor first? Like, you can't really even know what you can afford until you talk to a loan officer first. And the first time homebuyers I talked to, one of them was even like, loan officers hold the key to what you can't afford. And so that's what I've been kind of running with and being like, how can I help my generation understand, like, you can't really even start looking at homes until you know what makes sense for you. And my brother was like, everyone knows what a realtor is, but I honestly don't know what a loan officer is.
Yeah. So in another interesting thing, the speaker today said, who here uses Facebook? So Allie, for your benefit, Facebook is a antique software package, which allowed people to
connect.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't have an account. I've never used it, but that's what I've heard. Anyway, like just a very sparse sprinkling of people raise their hands that who are using Facebook.
Yeah.
So
I don't use Facebook. I have it.
Would you? So when you talk about using social media, would you use InstaChat or
Definitely Instagram. And I've done a couple different surveys. The two top like platforms by far, Instagram's number one, TikTok's number two. And
what? Wait a minute. What were those that you just said?
Instagram is number one and TikTok is number two.
Okay.
And then Twitter had zero response and then Facebook had zero response as the top platform used. So that doesn't mean they don't have it or use it, but the time that they spend the most, the application that they spend the most time on was Instagram and then TikTok.
So if you were a loan officer, how would you, what would you do about Instagram or TikTok? Because isn't TikTok, isn't that like I'll film my dog catching a Frisbee and put it on TikTok and that's my TikTok entry for the day. Isn't that TikTok?
Not necessarily. I will say one of the first interviews I had, the buyer had found out about an FHA loan through TikTok. And he was telling, I was like, so do you just go to TikTok and type in mortgage? And he was like, no, but now that you mention it, like, I think this is my hypothesis. I think everything I look up on Google slowly shows up on my TikTok. Don't know the science behind it all, but I do see that there's a correlation. And so when individuals are Googling or researching things, their TikTok's going to show them videos on it. And I will say mortgage on TikTok has millions and millions of views, the hashtag. So it's not just, you know, hey, go buy my skincare routine, go do this. Here's my dog falling. Like there's a lot more to TikTok than just, and I will say, I just Google or TikToked. TikTok is my new Google, how to efficiently pack a suitcase. I'm going to Europe in a few weeks. And I'm like, there's a lot of people who travel. Let me see if they have any tips, tricks for how to best pack a suitcase. So there's best practices on there too. And I think a lot of the young Gen Zers I talk to, that's their primary platform.
You're not going to Iceland? I thought all the Gen Zers flooded up to Reykjavik.
To what?
Iceland.
Iceland. The capital of Iceland. I've never been. I'm not going. No, okay. I'm going. I think we're going to Greece and Barcelona. So if anyone has any suggestions, hit me up on LinkedIn. Happy to hear anything.
Ibiza.
I don't think so. I don't think that's in my future, but I think my brother does. Okay.
Croatia's cool. All right. We're really digressing.
We are digressing.
What's that?
So we are digressing.
So that's interesting about TikTok and Instagram. And in fact, and that has become your Google. And it's something I rail against and something that really bothers me. I mean, it bothers me. So Allie, I'm old and curmudgeonly, but it bothers me when I walk into a hotel room and the TV is on and it's like, welcome, Robert. You know, and like it's like, you know what? It's the first thing you do is turn off the darn TV because I don't want it on. I don't want it knowing who I am. But when you talk about ads and doing searches on Google and suddenly, you know, I'll do a search for, you know, organic salmon for my cat Myrtle. And all of a sudden I turn them on my computer, you know, a week later and there's, you know, canned tuna ads. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know how that works, and it's a little big brotherish for me. So you now use, you say TikTok as your search engine?
Yeah, I mean, I've looked up things from, you know, Amazon best deals. There was just Amazon Prime Day, so I'm like, hey, what's the best thing I can get on Amazon right now? What's the best deals? It'll show up. It's people talking about it. I've also looked up like my Keurig. It said descale. How to descale it? I use it to look things up and it's nice because there's video format explaining it. I will say, you know, you mentioned the privacy violation and I've been sitting down with my mom every week. We've been talking about kind of differentiating factors between when she started in the mortgage industry and like today. And I will say like a lot of consumers, loan officers are trying to sell to them, cold call them, email them, do these like very cold outreach. And it's, I've heard like a lot of people be like, why aren't Gen Z like appreciating my calls? Why aren't they answering? And I feel like we've grown up in this environment to where our data and our privacy, our information, like you said, it's on the hotel TV, but it's also to every cold caller in the world. So I see an 800 number and I'm like, ignore. I was in a Chick-fil-A drive-thru the other day with like four of my girlfriends. It was the 4th of July and shout out to Chick-fil-A for being open. They're awesome. But we were going through the Chick-fil-A drive-thru and I said, hey, what's, or my friend got a call from a 407 number. And I was like, are you going to answer it? She's like, no. She's like, they'll leave a voicemail. And I was like, what if it's someone that like you need to talk? She's like, they'll leave a voicemail. And then I was like, so this is interesting to me because I have people in the mortgage industry who are like, why isn't Gen Z answering my phone calls? And so I told her, I said, what, like, are you going to call them back? And she's like, I have no idea who it is, what they're going to say to me. And they probably got my number offline somewhere. So that's something that I've noticed is really different from when my mom entered the industry 30 years ago. You know, whoever I gave my number to, I know they're calling me and they know they're calling me. Versus now it's like a ton of like sales calls and people I have no idea who's calling me. So slowly, I think the form of communication is changing and best way to like reach my generation. Sorry, that was a tangent, but I did want to highlight that because, you know, my information's everywhere. And that's part of why I think a lot of my friends like aren't as likely to answer cold calls.
I think it's interesting the you know, the searching on social, and I do it too. I use YouTube a little bit more than TikTok, mm-hmm. but you know, it's what do you think is are the drivers to get people to like look at that, you know, at that particular post? Like what's kind of driving not only maybe to view it, but also to like call to action? Like how do you engage with them afterwards? Like what does that like decision process look like?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think, so I've had over the past couple of weeks, my friends all know I'm in the mortgage industry. You know, I talk about gets no Gen Z. They're like, Allie, stop trying to sell me on a home. I'm like, okay, fine. I can't even sell it to you. But a lot of them have been sending me information because, you know, I'm talking about homes to them. So they're slowly thinking about it, but they don't want to admit it. And in that, they have been sending me these TikToks that have been grabbing their attention or Instagram reels. So for instance, there was one Instagram reel and I've been sharing the story. A couple of girls have sent me, first of all, I want to highlight the distrust that is being posted on social media about our industry. A lot of my friends have sent me the recent articles about big investors buying out real estate and renting it out. And so when they send it to me, they're like, what does this mean for me and my home buying journey? Like, this is so scary. If I don't get in now, can I not ever get in? And I want to highlight, you know, I hope our industry is able to get ahead of that and figure out how to talk to consumers about that, because that is very alarming. That's been a lot of talk that I've been sent. But another really big topic that I've been sent over social media is like, if you make this much money, you can qualify for this much of a house. If you make this much, you can qualify for this much. And I have friends send them to me and they're like, is this true? Can I qualify for a $450,000 house? And I'm like, well, there's a lot more that goes into it. But in that, I've seen some of them be like, oh, cool. But they're sending it to me. I don't know if they're calling to action with those loan officers. I think if it was at the end of the video, they were like, hey, reach out to me directly. Like, I know that mortgage guy, he has a great TikTok presence. They're generating a ton of leads, but he usually is posting saying, hey, click the link in my bio if you want to set up time to talk. So I think my biggest suggestion would be, hey, make sure you have a call to action, because posting educational content, that's great. And, you know, that's a great resource for your realtor, like to say, hey, here's the typical loan officer I work with. Check out their social media. They're pretty knowledgeable. But in that, also have like a call to action. Hey, if buying a home is in your 2-3 year plan or 2-3 month plan, give me a call. My number's in my bio.
You made a really good point around the kind of push to, I think I can qualify for, you know, $450, yeah, you know, $1,000 home or whatever the number is that you're given. Like, you also talked about kind of the fear of, you know, what's happening in the marketplace. Like, is there also a fear around affordability? Like, is that $450,000 loan like scary for people? Is it, are there really, you know, I'm curious about what's, if there is a balance on
that. That's a really great question. I think there definitely is. So I was at a friend's house at his apartment pool a couple of weeks ago, and you get in the elevator. I'm like, you know, I'm going to ask you, why do you rent? Why don't you buy? You know, I want to buy soon. And he's like, Hallie, I can't save any money. And he's like, I'm living paycheck to paycheck. And the idea of saving for a down payment right now, like, it's just not in the cards. And he's 25. And I just think, like, at what age do you buy your first home, Melissa?
I graduated when I was 21. So I was 21 when I bought my first home.
And so it's just alarming that as a 25-year-old, you know, he's been on his job for probably 3 or 4 years and he doesn't feel like he can save enough money for a down payment. So affordability is definitely something that's a top concern that I'm hearing about. I will say I surveyed a group of my friends and I said, hey, what's the most intimidating factor in homeownership? And the population that responded, it was between 150 and 200 respondents. They were nationwide, but primarily in Florida, Tennessee, and Texas. And out of those people, they were aged between 20 and 29. And the most intimidating factor was the education process and how to get started. And for me, I was like, oh my gosh, that's great news for our industry, because at 45%, the education process was the most intimidating factor. At 37%, saving for a down payment was the second most, and then qualifying was the third most. So in that, I'm like, our industry has a great opportunity to connect with the group of people in my age group who are primarily working from home. They're in this virtual environment, and they can connect with those buyers through educating them.
Love it. Chris actually had a great question we should address probably before we go. He asks, what content are you not finding on TikTok that you would like to see mortgage professionals start posting?
Great question. So for instance, I called my mom yesterday because I have a friend who is, who posted on her Snapchat story. She has like a private group, and she posted last night and said, hey, I have a question for everyone. How often do you pay your credit card off and when do you pay it? I'm really trying to figure out how to improve my credit score and what really goes into that. And so I don't think that there's enough talk about really credit education or awareness. And I slid up and I was like, hey, I'm wondering the same thing too. So I think talking about things that will incorporate into the qualifying process for a home, that's educational content. That's great. I also think I just started a book called, I don't know where it went. It's over there. It's called Making Mortgage Sense. And it has a whole back page full of mortgage acronyms. And it's stuff that I have to rely on sometimes when I'm looking through LinkedIn or reading an article on our industry, because some of the jargon that we use can be super overwhelming for the people that I talk to.
That makes a ton of sense. Rob, any last questions before we go?
No, I'm good.
Okay.
I should start posting my commentary on.
I read your commentary even if it's through email, Rob.
Instagram. Will email go vanish?
I don't think so. A lot of the people I talk to get some of their news from there. They get a lot from their podcast. I listen to Robbie's podcast on my morning walks. So I think that email newsletters are still a great way to get education. But social media is definitely getting up there too.
Al, you've done a fantastic job.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
I was worried you were gonna grill me, Rob. When I first met you at Michigan Mortgage Lenders, I was like, oh my gosh, that's Rob Crisman.
I had the same reaction. Well, thanks everybody for joining us. Rob, thank you so much. Allie, thank you so much.
Where are you, Allie? Are you in Nashville right now?
I am.
And so like it's a world headquarters for bachelorette parties. Are you going to join some bachelorette parties randomly
this
on the
weekend?
This weekend?
No, there's a huge Instagram account called Barstool, and they just opened like this new spot downtown. So we're going to go check it out. If anyone's in Nashville, I know Jen Peachman, I think, is in Nashville this weekend. So I'm going to try to set up some time to see her, but TMC will be in Nashville in September.
We will. Yeah.
So,
Barstool. What's Barstool?
Look, you should look it up. It's like this huge account that a lot of, I don't know how to explain it. It's like an Instagram following. They post a lot of just kind of funny memes and current events and kind of update the younger generations, I guess, on it. I don't know.
There you go.
It's also college based. So they go to each college and they like talk to people and they record what's going on at Florida State. So
this has been a wealth of information. Thank you very much.
You got to download Bumble.
Bumble BFF.
Bumble BFF.
All right. Thanks everybody for joining us.
Thanks for thinking of including me, Melissa. I'm excited to see you in the future.
Absolutely. We'll see you in Nashville for our conference in a couple of months.
Yes, ma'am. All right.
Bye.
Bye, y'all.
For more information about how you can get involved with TMC Connect and witness the power of the network firsthand, please visit us at mortgagecollaborative.com.